Let's assemble devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tena prokta swaputraya manave purvajaya sa tataha briguadhyaha grinan sapta brahma maharishayaha. Tena prokta swaputraya manave purvajaya sa tato brigavadyo grihanan sapta brahma maharishayah. Tena prokta swaputraya manave purvajaya sa tato brigavadyo grihanan sapta brahma maharishayah. Tena prokta swaputraya manave purvajaya sa tato bhrigavadyo grihanan sapta brahma maharishayah. Tena prokta swaputraya manave purvajaya sa sapta brahma maharishayah. Ladies, tena by Brahma, prokta spoken, swaputraya to his son, manave to Manu, purvajaya the oldest, sa that Vedic knowledge, tataha from Manu, bhrigu adayah those headed by Bhrigu Muni, Grihanan accepted, Sapta, seven, Brahma in Vedic knowledge, in Vedic literature, Maharishayaha, most learned sages. Translation proper by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to his eldest son, Manu, and the seven great sages headed by Bhrigu Muni then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. Purport. Everyone engages in a certain way of life based on one's own nature and propensities. Bhakti Yoga is the natural activity of one whose nature is completely purified by association with the Supreme Lord. Other processes are meant for those whose nature is still affected by the material modes, and thus such processes, along with their results, are themselves also materially contaminated. Devotional service to the Lord, however, is a pure spiritual process, and by executing it with a pure consciousness, one comes directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who describes himself in the Bhagavad Gita 9.2 as Pavitram Idam Uttamam, the Supreme Pure. The system of parampara or disciplic succession is illustrated in this and in the previous verse. The spiritual masters in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement are part of such a disciplic succession, and through them the same Vedic knowledge spoken by Brahma to Manu is still available. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Dhakanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to his eldest son Manu and the seven great sages headed by Bhrigu Muni, then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. This is Canto 11, Chapter 14, Text Number 4, chapter entitled Krishna, Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System. This particular verse and its purport today is revealing some very special essential truths of life. The one particular line which is striking is Bhakti Yoga is the natural activity of one whose nature is completely purified by association with the Supreme Lord. There are so many living entities in this world, countless. Literally, the numbers are so bizarre that the human brain, however developed we think we are, can barely even begin to understand what numbers are we talking about in terms of number of living entities. Even a small piece of dirt may have trillions of bacteria sitting on that, which are not countable. We'll talk of the number of living entities in this room itself, not countable, right? And yet, every of this innumerable varieties of entities has a nature, intrinsic nature, and based on the nature, they act. So the way you act is based on your nature. A child has his nature. So the children are going to be there in this room or any other room. You can't expect them to sit and start hearing with attention the lecture. They'll be all fidgety and doing something and playing and something, you know, just running around. So these are nature. right? To be restless and distracted and mischievous and things like that is a nature, right? So everyone has a particular type of nature. A dog has his nature, a cat has his nature, a lion has his nature, right? So everyone acts according to their nature, and that's fundamental understanding. Coming to the level of human beings, of course, we are not one. Homo sapiens are not one. There are 4 lakhs of us, right? And therefore, each one is imbued with a nature, a specific nature, based on which ladder of the rung he fits into the 4 lakhs. Right? So the nature is created by, what is the nature created by? By basically his level of consciousness. As we said, a dog has his nature, a cat has his nature, based on his consciousness, right? So human beings also, 4 lakhs of us, varieties, we all act according to our nature based on what level of consciousness we are. And of course, we're supposed to graduate, evolve, grow. So then, most activities of all living entities are based only on the bodily level. The consciousness is so deeply entrenched in, the roots are very deep, very, very deep, more deeper than we can think of. A banyan tree, difficult to uproot, even in a whirlwind it may not go off. Deep, deep, deep roots, far more deep our roots, where we're so entrenched into the understanding that I am this body, that every activity which a human being even performs, 99% is based on body and body, right? So this particular verse reveals something very essential, something which we all of course know, but it's important to note sometimes things which we know with additional state of emphasis, right? And that is that what will be the activities of a person who has understood that he is not this body? If he is blessed to go into a state of understanding where he knows that, oh, I'm making a terrible mistake. I can now understand through introspection, through contemplation, through reasoning, logic and science that I am not this body. I am something beyond the body. In fact, I'm not just something in the body, I am the one living within this body. Just like I'm living in my flat or I'm driving my car, I'm the one living in my body. So then who am I? I'm separate, completely distinct. So then as we evolve from this understanding, we may grow from the level of being a karmi who just karma, 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 activity based on the body. Right? And then a fortunate soul may start becoming a little more, oh, maybe I'm more the mind. Yeah, well, this, well, yeah, it looks like I'm the mind. He grows, so becomes a philosopher. Becomes a jnani, starts going into metaphysics, right? And eventually, if he continues to get blessed, he may understand that actually, I'm way beyond the body, the mind, and the intelligence. I am the spirit soul. Then at that level, what will be his activity then? Having understood that nature, that I'm spiritual in nature, I'm not material in nature, I'm not even subtle in nature, like mind intelligence. I am now spiritual in nature. Okay, that's my nature now. So what are my activities now? My activities will be what is called as bhakti yoga. That means I will use my faculties of my existence, my body, my talents, my resources, my influence, my money, all my possessions. I will now use it because I am the spirit soul. I'm going to use all this for bhakti yoga. I will connect. Yoga means to connect. I will connect all that I have. My body, my mind, my intelligence, my family, my country, everything. Whatever I have, I'll connect this in yoga with the Supreme Lord. And then when he understands this broadened understanding of bhakti yoga as not just a set of rituals, okay, this, go to temple, do this, 4-5 things, Panchanga Bhakti Yoga, right? But he applies that knowledge of Panchanga Bhakti Yoga to incorporate every aspect of his life, right? And then at least it becomes what he called as a Karma Mishra Bhakta now. It is all karma still, a lot of karma is still there, but Krishna says in the Gita, yad karoshi, yad asnasi, yad juhosi, dadasi yat, yad tapasyasi, my dear Kaunteya, tad kurushva, madarpanam. So this is the beginning of spiritual life, where he starts, he has activities, he doesn't become nishkriya, or doesn't go into a state of, you know, activity-lessness. It's like activity, but it is in line with whatever I am doing. Okay, tat krushva madarpanam. Krishna says, whatever you eat, offer and eat. Right? Whatever money you earn, part of it you offer it to me. Right? So you start offering things to Krishna. And as he gets more and more purified, he becomes more and more and more connected with that thought process of offering everything to Krishna. Prabhupada gives such a simple example of to explain this philosophical. This sounds like, this is so difficult to understand all this. Prabhupada gives such a simple example. Prabhupada's glory is to reveal essential truths in simple words. He said, you go to Ganga. What do you do in the Ganga? You take a bath. How do you take a bath there? You take your normal bath. But then you're supposed to worship, because Ganga is not like a swimming pool water. It's holy water. It's sacred water. It is Charanamrita of Sri Vishnu, Vishnupadi. So you worship the Ganga when you take bath, right? You take your hands, put it back. Take it in your hands, put it back. Take it in your hands, take it back. Prabhupada says, so simple. You take it from the Ganga, give it back to the Ganga. You take from Krishna, take it back to Krishna. So how simple, and yet how sublime to understand that our life is like that. We take everything which is there in nature. Mountains, flowers, fruits, money, whatever you can take from nature, take it if it belongs to you. And then give it back to Krishna. Right? So this is a very simple thing, but yet very profound, that the more and more we align ourselves with activities based on our nature, original nature, not contaminated nature, original nature, we become more and more purified. The purification is not a rocket science. Purification is very simple. You understand your nature as spirit soul, but you are not realized still. You still have a theoretical understanding, but you perform activities based on that nature. Right? Okay, I think I am the body, but now I know I am the spirit soul. So I do activities in line with my original nature. The more and more we do activities like that, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, everything, your money, your land, everything which you have, everything becomes what? Everything connected to you becomes what? Purified. Your family becomes purified. Your money becomes purified. Your senses become purified. Everything which you, because you're connecting it to the pavitram idam uttamam. Because you're connecting all that you have. Your body is not pure. Is it pure? Oh no, there's stool here, there's urine here, there's mucus here, there's bile here. How can I say my body is pure? It's not. The money I earn, is it pure? No, it's come from people who have got all sorts of bad habits and this and that. The money I earn from people are not really pure. It's not pure. Nothing is pure in this world. Nothing is really pure. Is the air we breathe pure? No. Water we breathe? No. Nothing is pure. But we connect all this to the all pure, it becomes purified. So that's the simple and yet very... I thought I just shared this thought because I think that's the way I understood it. So I wanted to share that. So we become purified like that, and it's very nice. And how do we learn these things? And so this purport is bringing out another very essential, I found this second most important thing in the verse, is to understand the principle of the parampara. That even though we may sort of take it for granted, our understanding which we just talked about today and what we've been hearing about in our books, we read these books now so many times, we heard 100,000 lectures now and this and that, right? But how do we understand this? We sometimes forget that there's a miracle behind all this. How is it a piece of information generated by Brahma? Right? Now when was Brahma born in this world? Brahma was born in this world 7 Manus ago. And each Manu has 71 Divyayugas along with him. And each Divyayuga is 4.32 million years. Multiplied by 1,000. Right? So we are talking about numbers which are again beyond human understanding. It goes into billions of years. What, if you just think about it very scientifically also, is there any revelation of any truth in this world of any existential nature which can survive billions of years. That's not true. There's nothing. As far as my scientific brains say, I don't know of anything in this world which has survived in its natural pure state and revealed in its pure state of understanding after billions of years. There's nothing. Right? All knowledge by scientific methodology, whether it's dinosaurs or Divyastras used in Mahabharata or any other fossil or any other artifact in this world, you don't have knowledge of that in an as-it-is format at all. It's all speculative, it's all carbon dating, which is all faulty, it's all based on human senses. Nothing is actually there in its pure state. Nothing at all. Right? And yet, what cannot be understood, what has happened 5,000 years ago in the previous yuga of Dwapara, as being unfathomable. 5,000 years ago, something happened. Bhishma was there, and Divyastras were there, Rakshasas were there. So now these guys keep speculating, what kind of people were there, what was Ghatotkacha like, and what was he like, and what kind of size he had, and this and that, and Kumbhakarna, what is all this, right? You know, no understanding, right? They cannot understand anything. Practically, we have to understand, even though we may think we are scientific, that there is nothing which is understandable by gross sensual understanding. It's so faulty, it's so limited, so narrow, right? So, if we were to simply understand the modern man, to understand that, yes, I have a craving for knowledge. I want to know things of the past. Everyone has this feeling, right? What is it like in the past? How were people like? What type of size they had? And how did they walk? And what did they do? Yeah, this craving is there. Whatever birds were there? Oh, what kind of animals were there? Now, everyone has this understanding. You go to, you know, we keep on searching such sort of things, these sites and all that, right? But we will be wasting our time if we get into all that. Because whatever we need to know of the past is available right now only if you accept the modality of the channel which comes through a bona fide parampara. Parampara is a preservative. Preservative of knowledge. Like you have pickle, you put a lot of salt in that. So that all our mothers know that if you make a pickle in the month of, in the mango season, it has to last till the next mango season. Right? Because, you know, my children will be eating it for the whole year. So they put a lot of salt in that, a lot of oil in that, right? So unless there's oil floating on the top of the pickle, it gets spoiled, right? So the salt and the oil combination is a natural preservative of the pickle, correct? And then when you use bread, you know, the shelf life is 3 days, 4 days. You put this and that, put this and that. So there are so many, the whole science of preservatives is there, right? Or how do you preserve a dead body? It's a science. Body is dead. Dashrath Maharaj body, he left his body, but they didn't really sort of, you know, do his samskaras because, you know, Bharat Maharaj was not there. Bharat Maharaj had gone to his uncle's place in Kekaya, right? So he had to come back. They didn't know they didn't know any message. It was very far. No internet was there. So they had to send horses down the road. Then he would come back from there. It would take a lot of time. So how to preserve a dead man? There's a science of putting some oils and preserving a dead, even a dead man, keeping him sort of in good state. So next there are herbariums and things. The whole science of preservation. Now think about this. How do we preserve knowledge? Not just things or articles. How do we preserve knowledge? A piece of knowledge generated, say, million years ago. How do you preserve that? No paper, no CDs, no digitalization, nothing is there. How do you preserve knowledge in an apparent area where there is no technology to preserve it? So technology is existing and was existing and will always exist. The technology is called as parampara technology. Is the natural, not man-made, but God-made. Krishna made this. Therefore, in the fourth chapter of Gita, himself talks 4.2. Evam parampara praptam imam rajar sayo vidu sakalanaya mahata yukunashta parandapa. So Krishna made the system whereby what he spoke to Manu way beyond Ikshvaku manave praha Manu Ikshvaku abravit. He spoke many, many millions of years ago to the sun god, we're talking about the sun god again today, Manu. Right? So he spoke about the many. I'm speaking this again to you. That means Krishna is giving a strong emphasis that you better, my dear Arjuna, and all your followers down the line in generations, please do not go to any person for spiritual knowledge with an open heart, because you're going to be cheated, heavily cheated, if that person is not in parampara. And that's what's happening to millions of people who go with a spiritual desire to understand things, but to a sadhu with a beard or with a glamour on the net of being so and so, this and that, and a lot of, you know, fanfare, a lot of hype, a lot of fan following. But the simple question we have to ask to ourselves and to him is that, my dear sir, you speak so well, you look like a sadhu, and I appreciate what you are saying, but can you tell me what is the source of your knowledge? Right? Are you connected to any of the paramparas? If the answer is no, then he should be respectfully rejected. Because we have aman and mana dena philosophy has to work everywhere. Right? And let us then talk about our good fortune. How very rare. What is the rarity of this phenomena to get bona fide knowledge? Brahmanda brahmite kono bhagyavan jeev. You have to be a person who has wandered around the entire universe. Like people go from this place, that place to get a job. Right? They don't, these days there are jobs, pink slip and all. You go for here for a job. Right? And when you get a job, you feel so nice. Right? But we have gone through the whole Brahmanda practically, Prabhupada says, to get this what we have today, right, so accessible to us. This knowledge of Gita, the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, the knowledge of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the knowledge of all the Upanishads, the knowledge of all this Puranas and Ramayana Mahabharata. We have it in our homes, in our mobiles, in our bookshelves, we have it. But it is such a rare blessing. Rare blessing. Right? So when Krishna comes in this world, he gives us this technology. Right? Krishna comes to give. Man comes in the world to take. Simple. We come here to take. And people who are the gods and the godly, both don't come to take. Because God is Purna. What does he need to, what does the person who is Purna need to take? He is Purna. Purnamidam, Purnamita Udashate. He is Purna. He is like the sun. The sun always only gives. The godly is also full of God. What does he need? What does he need in this world? He just gives. So let's talk about for the next few minutes of what Krishna gave us in this world. He gave us something very, very special. Everything is given special. For the karmis, he gives the whole world. Nityo nityaram chitana chitana naam. He maintains them. He gives food and fruits and vegetables and air and water and earth. Name it, all that you need for survival on the physical platform, mental platform, he gives you that. But he gives something special to the spiritualists also, who are going to, as I said before, going to maintain their lives through spiritual activity. Right? So he gave on today's day something extremely rare, something extremely special, which is cherished in the entire creation. That was given by Krishna today. And what is that? He gave the whole creation the most holy place in creation, Sri Radha Kund. Right? On the auspicious day of Bahulashtami, Krishna gave so much to us. He gave his whole, spent 125 years and more in this world of his own Leela. But during this Leela, he did something very special. When Aristasura came charging into Vrindavan, right? And of course, Krishna, knowing that this is a demon, he already had information that he's harassing, terrorizing, killing, mothers are getting miscarriages, huge mountainous beast of proportions beyond human imagination, with the tail of the Arisasura going into the clouds practically. Can you imagine a bull with a tail going into the clouds? We cannot. You know, these are all, looks like, you know, fictitious stories, but they're in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have our faith that what Prabhupada said is always true. No, we don't doubt these things at all. We accept it with implicit faith. Yes, all this happened. Right?
And Krishna, you know, this tiny boy of maybe, you know, 3 feet, 3.5 feet, Gopinath size, a small boy of 6 years, 7 years, just took the horn and just twirled him around once, twirled him around twice, did a couple of such movements and passed urine and stool and blood and eyes popping off. Harisar was dead. Right? We won't get into that part. But the main thing which happened is that the gopis now complained, we cannot associate with a person like you. You are the killer of a male cow. You are a killer of bull. Bull is dharma personified. Cannot connect yourself with you. You are sinful now. We cannot come to you and play with you, dance with you, till you become purified. I said, but no, he was a demon. He wasn't a bull. He was whatever it is. He was in the shape of a bull. So, nothing doing. Excuse me, Haribol. So he said, what am I supposed to do then? He said, you become purified. How wonderful these leelas are, you know, that one himself is the source of the all pure Ganga, one who gives, he himself is the pavitram idam uttamam. He is the most pure, uttam of all the pure. He is now supposed to be now, you know, blemished by a sin. This is called leela. This is called as leela. So what am I supposed to do? In all seriousness, Krishna asks, you're supposed to purify yourself. How? You can only purify yourself if you go, it's such a horrible sin, killing a bull, such a horrible sin you have done. You have to go through all the universe and get bathed in all the holy kunds and all the holy places and then come back. So they get like an impossible task of Krishna, right? So that's how Radharani glorifies Krishna. That's how she glorifies him. So you go to all the holy places and come back. Only then I will connect myself with you. I said, okay. Your word is, your desire is supreme for me. But well, I'll make a shortcut. I don't have to go everywhere, right? I mean, I don't leave Braja. Padamekadma gachati. I don't go out of Braj anywhere. Everything will come. Everything is in Braj. Braja is complete. There's nothing beyond Braja, right? Everything is there in Braj. So I said, I'll call all that universes here. So, just by his, this is Krishna's mystic potency. Can you do anything just by thinking of it? Can you call for something like that? you call, you know, what is his name? Even your memory fails you. You cannot call back your memory also. I met you somewhere. Did I meet you in Yatra or in the hospital? Where did I meet you? you cannot recall even back your memory. Krishna just remembers. Like he remembered Brahma in a Dwarka. So, why don't you all come? So all the Brahmas just came to Dwarka from all the universes. Just one thought. That is called as Satya Sankalpa. You know, Krishna can just think of something and it becomes true. Anything of something never happens. I want to chant purely today. I want to chant good rounds today. And you say like that, in the next 5 minutes, the mind is going all over the universe. Right? So our Satya Sankalpa is not there, no potency. You have no control over our mind. This thought, and all the universes came. How can I serve you? How can we all serve you, my dear Lord? Okay, so then Krishna had, what he did is, he just pushed his heel into the ground, right? And he said, you fill this heel with your waters. Chance to serve you is the greatest joy of our life, right? So they started filling up, and all the kunds, all the holy rivers, all the holy lakes, all the holy tirthas personified, they put the holy waters in that kund. And this is the origin of Shamakund. Right? Shamakund was born like this. So he said, I'm purified now. But you guys are contaminated because you took this nice now. And it's a leela again. And this is all sort of, you know, making all false allegations just to enhance the sweetness of a leela. You gopis now are contaminated. Do you understand that? Because you sided with a demon. You took his side, a demoniac side. You become part of the demonic party. So because you're part of that party, now you also are contaminated. I said, oh, really? I said, what are we supposed to do now? I said, you are supposed to get purified again. And I said, how? I said, it's very simple. I can tell my waters to come, you know, you can take bath. So we can't take bath in that kund because it is contaminated by you because you took a bath there. that water is contaminated because it is bathing, it is having the sin of you dissolved in that water. So we will make our own kund. So don't bother us, okay? So okay, how? So then the hoofprint of Arista was there. Giant, huge Arista was there. So it's like a whole hoofprint in the impression of, in the earth. Zoom, such a big impression of like a hole there in the ground. So they said, okay. So they removed their bangles, broke the bangles, and then they took the bangles and started digging. Digging, 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 digging. So the water, you know, starts coming from the ground. There's no dent, don't use no drilling machines and all. See, this again spiritual technology. Right? Just taking bangles. So then they're digging, and then so they were working very hard, obviously, right? It's not easy. They're sweating, Radharani is sweating, gopis are sweating. He says, why are you sweating so much? You know, you just so then all the holy water said, Mother, Mataji, can we serve you? Said, yeah, you filled all the waters with in my kund also. And then the bridge was broken and the water flowed from Sham kund and filled up Radha kund, right? Of course, Krishna took his bath in Radha kund today and declared that anyone who's fortunate to take his bath in Radha kund will get the same exalted, pure mood of unalloyed service to Krishna as is held dear in the hearts of the gopis of Vrindavan. Because Radha kund is the love. Radha kund is love in liquid form. Love can take various forms, right? When you give a nice embrace to your friend, it's your love is manifesting as an embrace. You give a nice gift to somebody, a rose flower or a bouquet, your love is manifesting as a rose. Correct? So no matter when you give something to someone with a lot of pure love, it manifests in that shape. Okay, you love your wife, you say, I give you a nice car today. So your love can manifest as a car. So love manifested from Radharani as liquid form, as that water. Right? Her love for Krishna was fully present resplendently in the form of that water. So because it is imbued with her consciousness, anyone who takes part in that, bathes in that water also becomes a part of that consciousness. However, it is not so easy and it is not so cheap. Correct? When Srila Prabhupada's disciples first went to Vrindavan in 1972, right? They had heard about Radha Kund from Prabhupada and Vrijbasis, and said Radha Kund is the highest place in the universe. You get purified. So these Westerners, they just went to Radha Kund and started jumping into that and frolicking and swimming. It's for them, it's a beautiful, nice swimming pool, right? And Prabhupada was very, very, very upset. Very upset. Probably also angry. He said, you cannot take Radha Kund so cheaply. From now onwards, no one takes a bath there. Passed a law, command. No one takes a bath in Radha Kund. All that you can do is just take 3 drops of water on your head in Achman. And you get the same benefit of a proper bath. So that's a beautiful thing that happened, because when we started going, you know, the devotees of Gopinamandi started going to Vrindavan Yatra with Radhanath Swami, it was such a strict thing, such a strict thing. You dare not even put your legs in the water. You know, because Radha Kund comes in the end of the parikrama, like you are. Hey, let's sit here and. So, you know, you do go to a pool, what do? You put your legs down and let the cool water, you know, take care of your calf muscles. And one devotee was sitting like that. And, cannot do that. So, strict instruction, no one touches the water. And Maharaj would glorify the Radha Kund with such exaltation. As such a special place. So you approached it with, and what it did very nicely, very meaningfully and very profitably, is to now see Radha Kund not as a swimming pool or a body of water, but erased. The kund in our hearts as a place of great reverence, a great veneration, great respectability. Put it up there. It wasn't down there. It was up there. Radhakund. Right? So then every time we would go there with just lots of prayers, and just like 3 drops, lots of prayers again, go to Shyamakund, 3 drops, come back to Radhakund, 3 drops, stay there, pray, chant a few rounds. Maybe some people put their beads in the Radhakund at the most. You can't go inside, the beads can go inside at least. The beads go inside, the beads are purified, and the purified beads are the chant now, Mahamantra here, 2 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, intense prayers. Radharani, please, you know, heart is like, you go to such a place, automatically prayers start flowing out of your, out of your system. You become very reverential. And I will not forget this. One particular, you know, time, His Holiness Sachidananda Maharaj was there in the yatra also. And he was sitting a little way back in the Radhakund on one of the steps. And he said, no one is going, a big group of devotees, nobody is going to the Radhakund. I said, Radhanath Swami, you can allow your disciples to take part in the Radhakund. You know, something to that effect is said. And Maharaj would have not done it himself, but because of his dear Gaurabhadar, he loved. And even then, when we went, it was, Radhakund was such a special place. We went with devotees who went there, they couldn't believe that they're entering Radha. They just couldn't believe it. That, is this possible? Should we do this? Maharaj, are you sure we should go inside? It's like really hesitation was there. And with great care, and when you put your foot down, I'm putting my foot down. It's very careful. Years later, of course, these cones got covered over and became part of the paddy field of rice. And then Mahaprabhu, who's the same Krishna, today his appearance of Radhakund, so we're talking a few things about this special place. And Mahaprabhu Chaitanya came to this tamal tree and asking the villagers, "Do you where is Radhakund Shyamakund? Do you know him?" He said, "This is Kari and Gori." So one kund was like light colored water from Radharani's kund. This is dark colored water from Krishna's kund. This is Kari Gori. So this is the stain. So the Mahaprabhu just rushed into the water, applied all the mud all over his body, went into complete deep ecstasy, danced around the kund, and revealed to the whole world, this is the same Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, which was revealed 5,000 years ago. He handed over a Govardhan Shila, Das Goswami, along with Kunjamala, and that became the residential place of Das Goswami towards the last part of his life. The revelation of Mahaprabhu must have been in around 1510. That's the place when the Lord went to Vrindavan. And the Lord left this world in 1534. And for many years, Das Goswami stayed there, I believe in the 1580s. For 40 years he stayed there and did his bhajan there. The nice story of how, then he got this desire from by the Lord's grace that I must excavate Radhakund because it is a paddy field. And he figured it out that it's such a special place. And as the world knows about this, people will come here. And, you know, when people come, you have to create a facility for people to come here. Like all of you are thinking about the yatra. So you want to create facilities for the yatris to come. All of you are working hard for that. So yatris will come. If there's no ghat, there's no place, there's no proper fencing, then how will people take a bath? So I need to create, excavate this kund and make it into like a nice ghat. I said, why am I thinking of all this? I should be just satisfied with myself. And he had desire, then he said, let the desire go. Right? There's a devotee called Samarpana, who was way there in Badrinath. He's right there in Badrinath, and he's carrying a huge amount of money to give to Badri Vishalji as a donation. And the Lord inspired in his heart, not me, you go to Vrindavan and give this big amount of money to my dear devotee Das Goswami. Right? So he came all the way from Badrinath, figured out where Vrindavan is, where Govardhan is, and where Radhakund is, and said, this is for you. He said, why for me? So I don't take money. I've already given up all this wealth long back. He said, no, the Lord wants you to take it. He came in my dream. So he accepted it. And he excavated that. Made into what, not what it is now, that has even become, they had even improvised on that. He became old And we remember how a large part of the execution was done by Jiva Goswami then. Jiva Goswami played. So there's official deed which still is supposed to be there, where the property was transferred from Das Goswami to Jiva Goswami. That deed is supposed to be still there. And then his disciple Krishnadas Brahmachari did all that, right? Then Raja Man Singh came little later, having made Govindji Mandir, and he added a few things also. So what we are seeing today is the combined work of so many great Mahans, devotees, Vaishnavas, who have preserved the sanctity of this very, very special place, right? It's getting late now. We need to end the class. So how do we really access this grace of Radhakund into our lives? Well, I think most of us understand that it is going to be, I mean, there are two qualifications to stay at Radhakund and do bhajan there. First is, the scriptures say, you have to be free from the bodily concept of life. You have to completely realize that you are not the body. And secondly, you have to be chanting offenselessly. If there is any offenses in your heart, any dham offense, nam offense, seva offense, Vaishnava offense, you cannot stay, right? So those are offenseless in their behavior, in every way, thought, words and deeds. And those have become free from any material desires pertaining to the body and the mind. Only they can stay at Sri Radhakund, right? So that makes us disqualified, obviously. Most of us are disqualified. So how do we get Radhakund into our lives? It is important to understand at this point that all the holy tirthas are there in Sri Radhakund and Shyamakund. Right? And also the understanding that the spiritual master, he also is called as Tirthapada. Right? Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasena Gadabrataha. Right? That the spiritual master, his lotus feet, wherever they land, are also the abode of all the tirthas. As much as Radhakund is the abode of all the tirthas. Right? So simply by taking the instructions of the spiritual master, his teachings, his example, deep within our hearts, that's actually the way and the means to gradually access the shelter of Sri Radhakund. When Srila Prabhupada is accessing Radhakund's grace in his life by staying all the way from Kolkata to New York, and yet he is accessing Radhakund there. We never heard of Prabhupada going past last part of his life and sitting next to Radhakund and chanting his rounds. We don't hear that. But last part of his life, he went to London to preach, even in a body which is so frail and fragile. Right? So our Goshtananandi Sampradaya strongly emphasizes preaching as the most important part of our life and not Bhajananandi approach. But to really actively be involved in devotional service, make it our nature. And in this way, the last part of our life, keep on accessing the grace of Radhakund and Shyamakund through the instructions of the spiritual master into our lives. And that's where we actually can access through our consciousness, not through our body, but through our consciousness, the shelter of Sri Radha and Sri Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Bahulashtami ki jai. Radhakund appearance day ki jai. Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna.